Please be seated. I am well aware that I've used this illustration a few years back. I've told this story before. I'm also well aware that, in a way, I've kind of preached this sermon before, probably more than once, because it's a sermon about choices and about priorities. But on this wonderful day of celebration where we kind of kick off a new year, I thought it might be good for us to hear that story again, all of us, including me. Especially good to hear this story when our gospel reading that you just heard is such a downer. Here's the story. On April 21st, 1980, Rosie Ruiz won the Boston Marathon, except she didn't. When she was crossing the finish line, Ruiz had logged the fastest time ever in the Boston Marathon and the third fastest time in history. Yet she didn't seem particularly fatigued. She didn't have a long-distance runner's body. Nobody knew her on the circuit, and that's when the suspicions began. An NBC reporter at the time got one of the first interviews with her and said, "Ma'am, you are either the fastest runner in the world that nobody's ever heard of, or you are a fraud. Can we talk?" And that's when her story began to fall apart. She hadn't run the race. In fact, she jumped onto the course very near the finish line. She was, in fact, a fraud. Have you ever felt like a fraud? Not in that Rosie Ruiz kind of way, but, you know, the feeling that maybe people don't know you really, that you're in over your head, like somehow you've gotten into the wrong place at the wrong time, and if people could really see what's inside of you and know the struggles that you have, then maybe they wouldn't think the same way about you. Have you ever felt that way? Well, if you haven't, you ought to try doing what I do for a living. Because the truth is, all of us have felt that way at one time or another, whether we want to admit it or not. Sometimes we don't feel as good or as pure or as true or as up to the task as we do at other times. We have the highs and the lows of life. Sometimes we feel affirmed and sometimes absolutely unable to live up to expectations. And we don't always react well to that, do we? This race called life. And that thought is where I found myself in this wonderful text from the book of Hebrews. "Therefore, let us run with perseverance the race." Such beautiful words. It sort of reminds me of a Nick Saban motivational pregame talk. Or whichever coach you want to pick. But I don't think these words are merely some sort of inspirational slogan, because I think the author is referring not only to us in this race, but perhaps even more so to those who ran before us. The saints, the ancestors of our faith, those names from Holy Scripture that we hold in such high regard. We call them saints sometimes. But have you ever considered who those folks really were? Think about it. Murderers, liars, adulterers, betrayers, cheats, you name it. And those were the good guys. In my religion class, I referred to them as the great big dysfunctional family of the Bible. Were they people of faith? Yes, they were. But holy frauds, every single one of them. Yet what set them apart was their perseverance, their focus. And that's where I think you and I can find a bit of ourselves in our own lives in this text. Another story. During the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City, a few thousand spectators remained in the Olympic Stadium waiting for the last of the men to finish the marathon. An hour earlier, Mamo Wold of Ethiopia had crossed the finish line and won the race, looking as fresh as he did when he started out. But since then, runners had come in, each looking worse than the previous one. And as the fans were getting ready to leave, they heard the sound of sirens and police whistles. A lone runner, John Stephen Akwarit of Tanzania, was to be the last man to finish the race. He had fallen, obviously. His leg was bloodied and bandaged. He winced visibly at every step as he hobbled around that 400-meter circuit around the track. But almost spontaneously, the crowd rose to their feet, and they began applauding him as if he were the winner of the race. And crossing the finish line, he walked slowly off that track without even acknowledging the crowd. A reporter asked him why he bothered to finish the race. He had no chance for a medal. Why didn't he just quit? He was in pain. And for me, his response is what this text from Hebrews is all about. My country, he said, did not send me 7,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 7,000 miles to finish it. Akwari understood who he was running for. He knew that it was important for all those who were counting on him that he finished well and that he finished proudly. He didn't have to win. He didn't even have to place. But he knew who he was running for, and that kept him going when every logical thought in the world told him to stop. Folks, every one of us are running a race. And half the time, we don't really even understand where we're running or what we're running for. And how well that race goes is all about choices. And it's all about decisions, simple ones, persistently focused on that which is greater than ourselves. We can make choices. We can choose not to set ourselves up for failure by overcommitting to things. Parents, remember that during this school year. We can say no to that thing that's not important. We can avoid places and situations and people that we know aren't good for our emotional well-being, unless it's family, of course. We can, some of you are laughing harder than others at that. We can wake up each and every day and say good morning. Or we can say, good God, it's morning. It makes all the difference in the world. And we can get annoyed and depressed at ourselves when we can't fix everything. Or we can acknowledge that the world has only one Savior and it ain't us. Chances are, if we're only running the race for ourselves, we'll be tempted to quit in those painful stretches. But if we can merely acknowledge and accept that the Holy One who ran the race before us now runs with us, then everything truly can be different. By holding fast to the truth that thousands upon thousands of the great and small, the famous and the unknown of God's people fill the stands, urging us on, willing us to complete the course that we've started. Faithful, persevering frauds, every single one of them. People just like you and me. Never perfect, but made good enough by the abundant grace of God that can bridge all our imperfections and make up for what any of us lack. If we could accept that, then maybe, just maybe, the course isn't so overwhelming after all. God love you. Amen. Mm-hmm.